King Clovis, Clovis the First, the founder of the Merovingian dynasty of Frankish kings. On the death of his father in 481 A.D., Childeric, king of the Salian Franks, which was one of the subsection of the Germanic tribe we refer to as the Franks. There are many parts of it, and they're all going to have to be unified, and that's something Clovis will do. Clovis will unify all the various Frankish pieces under his control. And he's probably the most successful of all of the Merovingian kings. He's also noted for marrying this beautiful Christian princess from Burgundy named Clotilda. And it's quite an interesting pair because, of course, Clovis is a pagan. He practices Germanic religion. Of course, his wife Clotilda keeps telling him that, you know, you're going to have to change. And when their first child was born, he allowed Clotilda to have the child baptized. Unfortunately, it died shortly after being baptized, and this made it very difficult for Clotilda to try to convert Clovis. But when their second child was born, he again allowed the child to be baptized, believing that as soon as it happened, the child would also die as kind of punishment, which didn't happen. And Clotilda had always been talking to him, you know, you have to become a Christian and so forth and so on. If things go bad in battle, give my God a chance. So the next thing that takes place, because he's going through a series of conquests through his life, so we go down to 496 A.D. So it's 15 years after he's become king of the Merovingian Franks. And he's in a battle with the Alemanni. And it's not going very well. Now, according to Gregory of Tours is one of the writers from this time period. Gregory of Tours lived from 539 to 594 A.D. And he wrote the history of the Franks. And I mean, he extends it way back and does all sorts of things with it. So this is the account that's usually given, and I'm just going to take a piece of it. Accordingly, the battle is going badly, and Clovis, remembering what his wife had told him, decided to give Jesus a chance. And it goes, "If you will give me victory over my enemies, and if I may have evidence of that miraculous power, which the people dedicated to your name say that they have experienced, then I will believe in you, and I will be baptized in your name. I have called upon my own gods, but as I see only too clearly, they have no intentions of helping me. I therefore cannot believe they possess any power, for they do not come to assistance of those who trust in them. I now call upon you. I want to believe in you, but I must first be saved from my enemies." And as the story goes, shortly after that, the Alemanni begin to retreat. Actually, what happens, the Alemanni king is killed and begins to begin the retreat, and then he works a deal out with them. And true to his promise, he becomes a Christian. Now, this is a very important point in the Christianizing of Germanic kingdoms, because when you have these vast armies and these people are fighting, you just don't have an army like we have today. The Franks would have each leader has a certain number of bodyguards that they're responsible for. They pay them, they give them land, they provide everything for them. The more powerful you are, the more of these retainers that you have. When you defeat someone, then that person would be required to provide you or help you in any kind of conquest. So Clovis has a large body. Some people have talked about as large as 10,000, and I find that probably a little bit large for this time period, but certainly a few thousand. When their leader, who they are sworn to follow and defend and fight for, when he converts to Christianity, they do too. So the conversion of Clovis is the beginning of the conversion of a lot of the Franks to Christianity. And that's really one of the main moments in his life is his conversion. And of course, the other thing that he does is he, of course, will conquer all the other Franks, unify them in the one group, okay, under a single leader, but with lots of diverse geographical regions. And of course, the other thing he will do is he will have the law of the Franks, which is called Salic or Salic law, written down instead of being given by the oral tradition. And sometime in the future, I'm going to do a little podcast on Salic law, because there's some really interesting parts to it. In Clovis's case, he will then rule until 511 A.D., which is a long time. I mean, this man is on the throne for, 50 years. It's incredible. Probably outlived two generations. Upon his death, then the empire, according to Salic law, the land of the father is divided amongst his sons. That's called the Germanic inheritance. The boys inherit the land, the women do not inherit the land. So it is divided up between his four living children at his death, which is Thierry the First, Clodomer, Childebert, and Clothar the First, which, of course, that all takes place in 511. Each one of them is given a different piece of the kingdom. Sometimes it's equitably divided, sometimes, boundaries are boundaries. And then frequently what happens in Germanic inheritance and in the Germanic law is that the brothers will then fight amongst each other, defeating or killing one another, which means their land is then divided back with the other brothers. So after a period of time, as a matter of fact, after 47 years, the kingdom is finally reunited under a single king, which is Clothar the First, and he rules for all of 3 years, and then the Franks go through the entire process again. If you look at charts on Frankish history, there are only four or five kings that rule in the whole kingdom at one time, and the Germanic heritage part is just unbelievable. But Clovis is without a doubt the best, number one leader of the Merovingian Franks. Now, as far as readings on the Franks, Gregory of Tours' book, The History of the Franks, is very good. I mean, it's the only thing that we have from that time period, other than some accounts from ambassadors in different parts of the world. And some historians will say, well, he makes up a lot of stuff. And okay, well, this is it. I mean, this is somebody's account, and if he manipulates it, that's one thing. But at least it's here. It is close to the time period. Of course, it will follow in through the rest of the Frankish kingdom up through Charlemagne. So it makes a good source. Then there's another book which is written within the last 20 years. Merovingian Frankish history is not the hottest thing in North America. But at Medill University, the Medieval Academy reprinted a book by Wallace Hadrill. Actually, it's J.M. Wallace Hadrill, hyphenated word. It's called The Long-Haired Kings, and it talks about the customs and the history, and it talks about Gregory of Tours and the law, and gives you good background to the Franks. But usually all everybody remembers about Clovis is he's married to Clotilde and converts to Christianity. If you ever look at a genealogical chart of the Merovingians, you don't see children born with those kind of names very often. Childric, Chilpric, Thierry, so forth and so on. Clovis is a nice one. So thanks for listening, and don't forget to stop by summahistorica.com and see some of the other podcasts that I've done. And we'll talk to you later.